Good evening and welcome to this special edition of Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Tonight, we begin our coverage, our team coverage of the Republican National Convention being held this week in Milwaukee. And big news already, former President Donald Trump has selected Ohio Junior Senator J.D. Vance to be his running mate. That while reaction is still pouring in to this weekend's assassination attempt of the former president, we begin our team coverage from Milwaukee tonight with Amanda Venicky coming to us live from the Pfizer Forum there. Amanda.
Yeah, Brandis, it has been a busy and very exciting day for delegates here, although a bit of a lull at present between all of the meetings and goings on. The big news so far, as well as the vice presidential pick, of course, is that it is official. Former President Donald Trump is officially, again, the Republicans' nominee for president. Here is the moment from earlier this afternoon when Illinois pledged all of the state's delegates to him.
Illinois, 64 delegates.
Now, not to be a downer, but Illinois' slot in that roll call came actually after Trump had already secured enough delegates to be the official nominee. But chair of the Illinois delegation, that's Central Illinois Congresswoman Mary Miller, was proud to do it anyway on behalf, she said, of groups that have been hurt by Joe Biden's presidency.
Parents who are horrified by Joe Biden's attack on parental rights, on behalf of farmers who are being crushed by the Biden economy, on behalf of our daughters who Biden is forcing to compete against men in sports, and on behalf of the victims of the Kamala Harris border crisis.
Now, as I've talked with delegates today, these are the issues, these are the issues that keep on coming up. The economy, inflation, immigration, parental rights, and they say that Trump is the man to take all of these problems on and to save the country. They say that he demonstrated that by how he handled the assassination attempt on Saturday by refusing to stand down even after getting shot.
We thank you for sparing Donald Trump from the almost certain death on Saturday. Surely you sent an angel to gently touch his face, to move it so ever slightly, to avoid the fatal shot from the assassin's bullet. This is just your most recent blessing of this man of ultimate courage and resilience who has endured and prevailed over his enemies who have sought to destroy him.
Now, Democrats had all, or pardon me, Republicans, that is, had a lot of thoughts about the impact of the shooting. Some say they believe that it will tone down the political tenor. Others said, no way, that Trump is not a man who tames anything down. I spoke with one candidate for state representative who said that they believe that this is going to unify the country and into recognizing the damage that has been done by President Biden with his and other Democrats' rhetoric against Trump. I asked that candidate, you know, what about Trump's vitriol against Biden long running? And her response is that, yes, Trump may get criticized for his inflammatory language, but she says that conservatives didn't protest and burn things down. That does ignore the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, of course. Now, there is broad agreement among a lot of Republicans that this assassination attempt is going to elevate and help Trump to be elected president.
All right, Amanda. And one other question for you. You know, we've been talking, of course, all afternoon. There's been a lot of coverage about the former president's selection for vice president. J.D. Vance from Ohio, what is your reaction to that selection?
Well, so you've spoken with delegates about this as well, and one was disappointed that they'd hoped it would be Carrie Lake, but nonetheless, a backer of Vance. Others say that they are enthused about this choice, that they believe Vance would ready to take over if needed, that he has the same energy and adoption of the America First philosophy that Trump has, that Vance is going to be a budget hawk and will be very effective as a vice presidential pick. Another delegate said that they actually won $10 on a bet in the belief that Vance was going to be the choice for Trump's VP.
A $10 bet. All right, that's a good one. I wonder if they have won a little bit more. Had they put some more down? Amanda, of course, stick around because we'll be seeing you again a little bit later on in the program. But I want to get in your colleague, of course, because while the Illinois delegation hails from a solidly blue state in most presidential elections these days, some of the state's big money donors have been actively supporting Trump's reelection bid and a host of other conservative candidates and committees. Nick Blumberg has been looking into those donors and the causes they're funding. Nick.
Well, Brandis, we have heard a lot from the Illinois delegation today about their commitment to seeing President Trump get reelected. Two prominent donors with Illinois ties are spending big to try and make that happen. Richard and Elizabeth Uline are both big-time backers of conservative causes, both in Illinois and around the country, and they are currently the second largest donors to the Make America Great Again PAC that's working to get Trump reelected. Now, that's not the second largest donors from Illinois. That's the second largest donors in the country. Now, banking heir Timothy Mellon currently has the top slot with $75 million, but together the Ulines have given $10 million to that PAC. Now, the Ulines are longtime Lake Forest residents with plenty of ties to Wisconsin here as well. They moved the headquarters of their shipping packaging company, Uline, up to Pleasant Prairie, and Dick Uline is an heir to the Schlitz Brewing fortune. Now, while they've thrown quite a bit of money behind President Trump, federal election records also show a $3 million donation to a PAC that supported Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's unsuccessful presidential run.
And Nick, you mentioned other Illinois candidates. What other Illinois candidates have they supported?
Well, they've been supporters of Congresswoman Mary Miller, who we heard delivering Illinois' delegates to former President Trump. We heard from her earlier today saying the darkness around the assassination attempt will allow Republicans to shine bright. Dick Uline donated to former state senator and gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey's candidacy last year. He ran in the GOP primary against Congressman Mike Bost, who was eventually the winner of that primary. Bost actually tipped his hat to Bailey, at the delegation breakfast earlier today, saying the former opponents are now working shoulder to shoulder to defeat President Joe Biden. In the 2014 election, going back a few years, the Uline supported former Governor Bruce Rauner's eventually successful bid. Then in 2018, they backed his GOP primary challenger, then State Rep Jeannie Ives. All told, Illinois election records show $92 million in donations to candidates and committees around the state since 1998.
And Nick, who are some of the other prominent donors from Illinois?
Well, there's one notable former Illinois resident who is still listed as coming from our fair state in some of his federal election donation records. That would be Citadel CEO Ken Griffin, who moved his company to Florida and has had plenty of criticisms of Democratic political leaders in Illinois and Chicago. At last count, records show Griffin contributing nearly $60 million to candidates and committees this cycle, but his money isn't going toward Illinois. He's made a $10 million donations apiece to U.S. Senate candidates, Republican candidates in Maryland and Pennsylvania, and he gave $6 million to a PAC that opposed one of the congressmen who voted to unseat former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Griffin also made a $6,600 donation to the successful U.S. Senate bid of Nebraska's Pete Ricketts, who is, of course, a part of the family that owns the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, and of course, those are all some very familiar names in Illinois politics and fundraising, because those are, of course, some heavy hitters in terms of donations. Nick, what about some of the smaller donors who are giving directly to the presidential campaign committees rather than the PACs?
Well, that's right, Brandis. We analyzed federal election records of the contributions to Trump and President Joe Biden's official candidate committees. Now, what's interesting is that the volume of individual donations to Trump's committee far exceeds those to Biden, more than 92,000 to Trump compared to 26,000 to Biden, which sounds surprising, right? But you have to look at the actual amounts they're donating. There's a big disparity there. More than 26,000 of those donations to Trump were under a dollar. At last check, only 50 Illinois residents had given Trump $3,300 or more, $3,300 being the limit under federal law that you can donate to a candidate per election cycle. Now compare that to the 572 Illinoisans who have given Biden $3,300 or more. Now overall, Trump's committee has taken in $3.7 million from Illinois compared to $5.8 million to Biden. But Brandis, if there is one political prediction I feel confident making, I'll even put down a $10 bet, is that those numbers are going to grow quite a bit as this election kicks into even higher gear.
I don't think you have a lot of takers for that bet, Nick, just everybody knows. All right, Nick, thank you so much.
It was worth a shot.
It is worth a shot. I appreciate it. And I want to let our viewers know that, of course, they can follow all of our reporters who we have on the ground there in Milwaukee, as well as, of course, you can read more about the story that Nick just shared information on. That is at our website, WTTW.com/news. Now, with more perspective on this week's Republican convention, we are joined here in the studio by Heather Hendershot. She is the Cardis Collins Professor of Communication Studies and Journalism at Northwestern University. Also, most recently wrote an analysis on the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, a book titled When the News Broke. She joins us now to talk about more of what's at stake for the Republicans in their message for the week. Thank you for joining us, Heather.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So, of course, we've been talking about former President Donald Trump's selection of Ohio Senator J.D. Vance to be his running mate. Although Vance is another white man from a red state, he's still quite different from Mike Pence, the previous vice presidential candidate and, of course, vice president. What do you think that Trump is trying to do or say with this election?
Wow. Well, I mean, J.D. Vance, of course, declared himself a never-Trumper some years ago, and his book, Hillbilly Elegy, which sold so well, was a very conventional, in some ways, you know, right-wing conservative book of anti-welfare and anti-elites, right, which is a talking point of the right, with a lot of traction. And he wouldn't have made sense as a candidate or as a vice presidential candidate back when Pence was chosen. I think Trump needed Pence to bolster the conservative Christian right, you know, and in because of his moral issues, he was a divorcee and so on. I think that Trump probably feels like he's already got that voting block now, and that Vance will bolster the right-wing conservative MAGA crowd that he already has. He's very mediagenic. Right, compared to Pence, he's sort of younger, he's more handsome, and he's a loyalist, he's a fierce loyalist. Now, Pence, of course, was a loyalist, but not willing to overturn the election and so on, and I think he feels that this time around he's going to have more loyalists than he did last time.
This is the third time the Republican Party has nominated Donald Trump. Has the messaging changed at all this time around?
Well, he's leaning into the authoritarianism and the extremism that was there before. He now has these attack points against Biden and his age and his fitness for office and so on, and that was not a big thing on the table, you know, 4 years ago. So he's going to lean hard into that. And then this assassination attempt is something else that he can lean into that, of course, was unforeseen. And I think people are right to predict that he will benefit from that.
Let's get into that just a little bit more. How might the messaging, how has it changed in the last couple of days, and how might it change going forward since this attempt?
I mean, you've got Democrats saying, let's bring the temperature down. This is not America. We should not act in this, and so on and so forth. And I think that Trump is eager to bring the temperature up, to turn up the flame under this whole thing. And if you think about images from just moments after he was injured, he's got blood on his face, and the Secret Service is doing their job. Let's get you out of here. And he says, you hear the audio, he says, stop, stop, wait. And he puts his fist up and he says, fight, fight, fight. That is inflammatory rhetoric. He is telling his followers not you know, let's pray for peace, the kinds of things that a very politically different kind of person would say. He is deliberately saying, let's turn up the volume on this whole thing and heat it up.
In a brilliant moment of rallying that audience, mm-hmm. because they all cheered for him and
exactly.
turned around and began to say lots of mean things to the media
exactly, yeah.
who were sharing this event worldwide. Okay, Heather Hendershot, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we will hear more from you a little bit later on in the broadcast. We will hear more from Heather, of course. We'll be joined a little bit later by Nick Blumberg, our own Heather Sharone, and Amanda Venicky. But first, I want to go to Amanda Venicky right now. She's standing by with a guest from the Illinois delegation. Amanda.
Yes, Brandis, I have with me the Illinois National Committee woman, Demetra DeMonte. Also, a band in the background. Things are beginning to get rocking here. Ms. DeMonte, can you just begin? Of course, the shooting on Saturday is very fresh, very raw. What do you believe the impact of that is going to be on the 2020 race?
Well, I
2024
think...
2024 race.
All right, well, first of all, I watched it live, Amanda. I watched it live on television. As like all other Americans, I was absolutely shocked. I think what struck me maybe the most is after this man, our former president, was shot, he got up and lifted his hand up in the air and said, fight. And if you noticed, the response from the audience was USA. They didn't go crazy like, oh my God, or want to do something negative. It was USA, USA. What do I think the ultimate reaction is? He is going to win bigly, as Trump would say. I truly believe that. And I believe we're going to take the Senate, Amanda. I think we're going to take more seats in the House. I think it's going to be incredible.
A Republican sweep.
Absolutely.
Is that on account of when he said fight? And a lot of folks that I've spoken with said that they believe that really shows his stamina and leadership. Is it because of that, or was this going to be the Republican sweep anyway?
No, I think what that meant is I'm here for you. If you saw him, Amanda, when he got up, he was pale, blood streaming down his face, and yet he was thinking of America, not himself. He was not even covered by the Secret Service. From here up, he was still exposed, and yet, fight, fight.
And it's a chant that was heard by delegates on the convention
yes,
floor today
yes,
as
yes.
well, saying fight, fight.
Yes.
You know, you, however, of course, Illinois, known as a very blue state,
yes.
Trump lost there, expected to, again, this election cycle. Will you admit that?
It's a blue state. It's very, very tough. It's a very, very tough situation for us. It would be great if we could win, but I really have no illusions. But I'll tell you, I think we're going to win a lot of the other states, the important states, and I think we're going to pick up other states. It will be very surprising.
And then what do you say then about the Illinois Republican Party? As you noted, it's a blue state, but also the Republican Party has seen a lot of division, more than ever perhaps this year, with the current chairman done with his role on Friday after blaming infighting. What is the state of the Illinois Republican
Party? Well, we have a new chairman, a woman. Kathy Salvi, who ran for U.S. Senate. I'm hoping for unity. I think it's overstated. I'm a conservative, and yet I've been elected four times. And you know very well that even the Republicans in Illinois are pretty moderate. So I think we're going to do well, but it's a building process. It is a building process.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. Once again, that is Demetra DeMonte, Illinois National Committee Woman, a post she has held since 2008. Term limited. Friday will be her last day as well.
All right.
Back to you.
It's a pleasure.
Amanda. Thank you so much to both of you. And, of course, we'll be back with Amanda and the rest of our political team with more about today's events and a look at what to expect tonight. That is right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
All right. Welcoming in our entire WTTW News political team, of course, Amanda Vinicky, along with Nick Blumberg, as well as Heather Sharon here in the studio. We are joined by Northwestern University's Heather Hendershot, of course. Welcome, everybody. Good to see you all doing great work out there. I want to start coming back to you, Amanda, because as we mentioned, the RNC, you know, it comes on the heels of, as we were discussing, the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. What was the reaction from the Illinois delegates at the RNC?
Well, so as I noted, you had delegates chanting fight, 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 which is the word that Trump had used when he pumped his fist in the air after he was shot. That they're proud of him, that they say that this shows the sort of heroism, the leadership, a man who doesn't stand down, and they believe very much that that is what America needs right now. And they drew sharp contrast to the Democrats' presumed nominee, anyway, in President Joe Biden. That came up as well during the breakfast, where you had basically the Illinois delegation meets every morning and has a breakfast, sort of goes over what's a day, a pre-rally of sorts. And one of the speakers said that we know and we are unified. We know who our nominee is going to be. Democrats cannot say the same. And I overheard one of the delegates say, yeah, they've got a vegetable. So really, they believe showing a sharp contrast in the direction that the parties are going, in the individuals that the nominees are, but of course also the policy.
Strong word there, Amanda, to use a term like vegetable. Heather, some are using the assassination attempt as a call for unity. Did you get a sense of that today from the Illinois GOP?
Well, it certainly gave Republicans a chance to sort of paper over all of the divisions that they have been dealing with in recent weeks and months and honestly years. And if it unites anything, it is that they are all united behind former President Donald Trump, and his sort of brush with an assassin's bullet sort of put the stakes of the election, I think, in stark relief for many of the Republicans. So it was sort of a way for them to focus on the prize on the horizon with the November election without focusing too much on the nitty-gritty details, which they do not agree on.
Heather, let's take a step back. You know, what should we expect from this convention process? How much of a role does Illinois have in the presidential nomination process?
Well, they don't have much of a role, honestly. There are only 64 delegates from Illinois. If Donald Trump did not win Illinois' delegates, which of course he did, he would still have the nomination. Illinois is a blue state, and really this is a chance for the Illinois GOP to sort of reset, retrench, build some new relationships, and try to figure it all out once the November election is over.
Nick, you spoke to some delegates, including some first-time delegates from Illinois. Tell us about their roles.
Well, their role is to officially nominate President Trump, even though he pretty much has had this sewn up since Super Tuesday, thanks to primary voters. They also have to officially adopt the party platform, which has been very much shaped by former President Trump. It's just 16 pages down from 66 in 2016, really softens the party's stance on abortion, saying those sorts of restrictions should be left up to the states. But despite that potential snag, a lot of Illinois delegates, a lot of delegates from around the country are very against abortion rights. That passed quite easily on a voice vote earlier today.
Heather Hendershot, Democrats have responded to the assassination attempt by pulling ads. Governor Pritzker is no longer in Milwaukee. Why that shift?
Well, part of it was just safety concerns about travel and so on. And it was an attempt to de-escalate the sort of violent rhetoric and the aggressive rhetoric. It puts the Democrats in a bit of a bind, right? Because during the RNC, what they should be doing is attack, 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 and bolstering their own candidate. If they attack, then they're being aggressive and turning up the temperature in a way they don't want to. And it's hard for them to support their own candidate when there's some doubt if this is going to be our candidate moving forward for the Democratic Party. So it's a very difficult position.
Could this be a moment to bring the conversation back to the campaign issues and, you know, away from the conversation about, you know, the candidate's age or fitness to be president?
Exactly. Focus in on issues like abortion rights and so on, and things that the RNC is trying to show a softened stance on, but I don't think that is the reality of the feeling of the base, that they're softening their stance on that. So they could definitely take a turn towards the issues, as you put it.
Nick, what is the delegation looking forward to this upcoming week?
Well, the folks that I spoke to today are obviously very excited, all in about renominating President Trump. But they all have their own individual issues that animate them. We heard from a first-time candidate who actually became a U.S. citizen. He's originally from Italy because he wanted to participate. He had all sorts of issues like border security, making sure the police are funded, taking care of veterans. We heard from one first-timer who said she's been watching this since she was a little girl. She's excited for this as sort of an event. It really is an opportunity for, you know, these delegates to mingle, to politic, to get to know folks. She really wants to see that big ball drop, we all know. And we also heard from one first-timer who broke her foot, but she said she would crawl to get here if she had to. She's particularly animated by the issue of what she sees as undue liberal influence in school curricula. That's something we've heard from a lot of conservative and particularly far-right Illinoisans and around the state in recent years.
A broken foot, that is unfortunate, but it sounds like she was still able to make it, so happy for her that she was able to do that. Thanks to our politics team, Amanda Vinicky, Heather Sharon, Nick Blumberg, and of course Heather Hendershot for joining us here in studio. And that is our program for right now, for this evening at 5:30. But you can see much more WTTW news coverage on our website, of course, wttw.com/news. And stay tuned now for PBS NewsHour's live coverage of the Republican convention. And join us again for convention wrap-up live here at 10 p.m. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, thank you so much for joining us. Stay healthy and safe. We'll see you at 10.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a personal injury law firm dedicated to preserving the dignity and rights of all individuals.